Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the July 18 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this program, we'll talk with Rich Nelson. He's the Director of Research for Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois. Our guests today include Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, let's start our discussion this week with this question. Sometimes there are outside influences that move the marketplace. That was the case when the Malaysian airliner was downed in Ukraine, the eastern part of that, and Russia along the border there. How does this happen, and what makes the marketplace so insecure about this particular area, Wayne Nelson?
Well, of course, the Ukraine in that area is a very big wheat supplier to the world. They export a lot of wheat, and we were wondering what supply disruptions might happen because of that and how it would affect the world supply as to what's going on and what sort of sanctions might be placed on either the Ukraine or Russia at this point in time.
And Ellen Dearden, when you take a look at this marketplace and how the wheat reacted, was it within the guidelines that you thought it might be?
Oh, I suppose so. I mean, the funds are short the wheat, and we saw a lot of short covering take place yesterday when that announcement came out. Market's so heavily involved with the speculative side of things with these funds, and they're not going to stick around to see what the real deals are. They're going to take the headline and figure that the market has moved through some of their stops and be out for a bit.
Kurt Kimmel, despite the fact that the marketplace sold off heavily on Friday, the soft red winter wheat did manage to finish the week up again at 6.25 higher for the September. July of next year was up 8.5 cents. Are we nearing a bottom, do you suppose, in the wheat market?
Well, seasonally, typically we get to harvest and through harvest. Wheat finds a home. We record some lows. Voice of the Tomb is recommended some of those strategies to look at long position in wheat. We have in the month coming up here, and we've been nothing but down and heavily short, so we might be able to see a situation where we could see some stabilization and maybe unwinding of the spreads. They've sold wheat and bought beans quite heavily throughout this winter.
Do you suppose wheat can bottom, and would that signal a bottom in the corn market potentially too?
Well, there's ideas, you know, wheat could take over leadership, but as long as this corn crop continues to grow or stay lofty on production size equations, kind of hard for corn to find a low much before harvest here. So I think probably the thing in the wheat will just slow the selling interest because we still have ample supplies not only here in the U.S. but worldwide.
Ellen, the futures markets are called futures because they look ahead. Turn your attention to the corn market. Next week, there is scheduled to be some heat. It's supposed to be a little on the dry side. Will this cause the marketplace for corn to bounce some?
Oh, we may see little bounces. The market really has dialed in a yield potential around 170, and it may not even if USDA comes in on the low side of that, which it seems to want to do on the August, the first measured report, the trade feels they're smarter and knows that this corn crop is big. It doesn't matter whether there's warmth or dryness. They just feel that the areas that have problems are very minor. I did pick up this week that around Columbus, Nebraska, which is east central Nebraska, there will be a loss of a reasonably large amount of crop acres due to flooding.
Oh, that's interesting. How large amount do you think?
Oh, they're talking that the loss potential is somewhere between 7 and 30 million bushels in that area alone.
Right.
So
right.
We're talking a lot of corn.
All right. So, Wayne, when you look at this situation and you start to think about what it might mean in terms of a 170 crop, what kind of price tag should producers think about on the cash side? And I know it varies from one place to the other, but maybe from your part of the world in Newmarket, Indiana.
You know, Todd, I think that that's a very good question, and we think that that 170 crop actually realized probably projects to a 350 board price as to look at that. So, you know, anything we can, you know, put on substantially higher, like a $3.80 to $4 futures price, I think is a good hedge to stick on or any sort of bounce we can get.
Kurt, would you be down at that 350 level, too, with 170?
Yeah, I think Wayne's right on. You know, they say currently we're priced in a bike. We got another 30 cents to go to visit that 350, but the fear is that we're just not going to go down there and bounce and go back up. I think we're going to have to go lower and stay down at that 350 level to make sure this demand comes forward and takes advantage of some lower prices. That's the function of the market over the next 6 to 8 months.
But I was under the impression, Ellen Dearden, that demand came into the marketplace this week.
We saw a little bit of interest. We really haven't seen much wholesale commercial buying. We saw a little exporter buying this week in the corn. But we are still looking at a huge amount of corn. When you look at on the global side of things, our global stocks of corn are just so darn high. You know, they're the highest level that we've seen in 15 years. I don't think the commercial is going to be jumping in here to buy a lot, and we have a lot of old crop corn stocks yet to move into this marketplace. So the end of the year surge in prices that we have as farmers seen the last few years, that's not going to happen, and neither is the demand for corn early in the new crop year. That's not going to show up when elevators sometimes offer low price drying, that's not going to show up. So I think the producer has to kind of relearn how to use this market, and the commercial is just blowing the dust off his old rules and saying we're going to take our time buying.
Does this mean, Wayne Nelson, that the price of soybeans in terms of the ratio new crop to new crop is too high?
It's pretty much out of line right now, Todd. I mean, we're at a very wide spot here. Like we're like 2.8 to 1, and we generally don't see that continue to happen. You know, as we look at the world, everything along the way, we have to say that there's probably, as bad as we talked about the corn here, there's probably a possibility of beans dropping more than corn.
Would you agree with that, Kurt?
Well, I think so. I think there's risk there. When you look at the carryout estimate of 415 million bushels, man, to get positive beans, you're going to have to take carry out below 200 million at least. That means you've got to lose, 2.5 bushels of the acre or stimulate demand by another 210 million bushels. Now, we did see Asia particularly step up and book inventory on beans here this week, but you got to remember their imports are expected to be over 72 million metric tons, so they're on schedule. They're going to need to buy, about 1.5 million metric tons per week on the marketplace between us and Southern Hemisphere. So this bean market really has got some work to prove out that the demand's really going to be there. So over a longer period of time, yellow beans have a $9 risk downside potential.
If this is truly the case, that there is a dollar risk in this marketplace, Ellen Dearden, and soybeans are an August crop, not a July crop, producers will be hesitant to try to make any hedging at these levels, should they?
Hedges? No, I don't think they should be concerned about hedges. I would be a little bit more concerned about cash sales.
Okay.
Hedges are still, you have some flexibility there. You don't have to actually even have the product to sell.
Todd, I think, most of the producers that I've been talking to are just like Ellen. They're scared of the August weather. We know we've seen different things happen. But a lot of talk is becoming into, do I need to put an $11 put on and try to sell a call above it and a put below it to try to get that average down. So there's a lot of people that don't want to take $10 for their beans.
You, of course, are listening to Commodity Week. Our panelists include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, who you just heard, Ellen Dearden from AgriView, and Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities, waiting patiently on the phone line, is Rich Nelson. He's the Director of Research for Allendale, located in McHenry, Illinois. Rich, thanks for taking the time with us. I heard on your website you say in a recorded piece that USDA will eventually raise the U.S. corn harvest, corn national average yield. How high do you think they'll take it?
Our weather and yield model run about 2 weeks ago suggests about 167.8. We will run this actually just ahead of next week. We're having our summer conference weather series here. And in fact, that one will probably bring it right around this 170 to 171 range. I have no argument against much of the industry right now with the current 170 discussion here.
Rich, I know that some of the research you put out this last week had to do with, you know, what the market went up, how much it went down, and maybe a little bounce back towards in the last week of July as a percentage like that. Do you feel we have a bounce in the last week of July in the corn and the beans this year?
You know, we did actually put out that weather research, and in addition to that, we also put out the research on what happens in these type of record corn yield years. And we found something very unusual and very surprising, and that was in each of the past four record corn years. You're looking at 94, 03, 04, and 09. In each of those years, there was a very consistent short-term bottom in the summer, in fact, between July 22nd and 30th. And that small rebound off those lows, in other words, is essentially a post-pollination rebound, range from maybe 12 to about 30 days here. So we do think there is a small rebound coming here. We don't have the information in hand yet to give us that type of rebound yet, but we do feel there's a last chance for marketing to get done here as we go into August here.
Kurt Kimmel, you have a question?
Yeah, a lot of unknowns out there, but when you kind of look forward, do you have a feel that this is going to be a fall low and rally through the winter, or is this kind of a situation where we're going to have to go lower and stay lower for a while, Rich?
You know, in our opinion, at least in these type of years, this transition into what we call the larger supply and type of years, we do see this tendency for, you know, this big move down into fall, but not a major rebound right off the bat. In fact, one thing I could see is if we're looking at some crystal ball issues, maybe cash markets actually holding a little firmer than expected here, while futures still stay pretty rough here. My issue on the cash is that simply that so many producers are really hesitant against doing any work, that I think the harvest sales might be a bit smaller than we expect here.
Ellen Dearden?
Will there be opportunities then for the beans to rally late this month ahead of its critical month of August?
And the thing that pretty much all of us can probably agree on is the idea that maybe corn can scratch a gain here, but maybe it's going to be very tough for beans to do so. What was surprising for us as well in that type of the other research we did on the price issue, it did suggest that beans can post a rally. And I'll be the first one to say that no, I don't see any reason at all on a fundamental basis yet to justify that move. But certainly I think producers will get a second chance here into August or so. But on this end, I'd certainly suggest that 950, reasonable downside going into fall.
Allendale is known for surveying its client base. I'm wondering if you've looked into them as to how much more storage they have and on-farm capacity, and considered what that might mean from one side of the Corn Belt to the other in terms of the ability for producers to hold longer-term grain in storage and force the market higher arbitrarily from time to time?
You know, in my opinion, at least, in the past 3 years of relatively tight supplies, the farmer has had quite a bit more bargaining power with those bins than what they've had beforehand. I would actually suggest a counterargument for the next phase, as we're now entering into the big supply period in front of us here over the next few years, suggesting that this will be a problem for farmers. They were rewarded for what we would call lax marketing in the past two or three seasons. In this case, I'm a little concerned that the market generally prices grain on the total supplies, not whether farmers are selling it. So that's my concern about this transition into a new phase of marketing ahead.
Rich, as we look ahead here, a lot of the advisory firms have been recommending a substantial quantity of 2015 crop to be pre-hedged coming into this year. What's your feelings on that?
As far as the 2015, no problem at all with getting something done. As a firm ourselves, we don't have any of that crop locked up. I believe we're 60 or 70% sold on corn for ourselves for this current new crop. But as far as 15, no problem at all working on some sales, maybe up to 20, 25% at most here.
And Kurt, do you have another question?
For everybody kind of a deer in the headlight mentality right now, what would be your best catch-up strategy to get some downside coverage and have that comfort in case this thing does seep lower?
You know, for probably 90% of the listening audience, almost everybody is in that same scenario here where we're the vast bulk of farmers did not get too much locked in at those previous higher prices in the past few months. In this case, like I said, I think we've got a small rebound coming here for August, more of a post-pollination rebound type of issue. I would definitely get some work done, get half the crop sold on the new crop basis on that move at least, whether it's a strategy with futures or whether it's a strategy with puts of some sort. No problem with either that argument, but certainly 50% done by the end of August.
We'll let Alan Dearden ask another question momentarily, but I would like to turn that question around and ask each of you, our panelists, what you would do in this case for producers. And maybe we should start, Kurt, with you, since it was your question.
That's fair game. We've been basically giving guys comfort by coming up with some price floor strategies, you know, such as the option market. That way guys don't feel like they're kind of selling the hole here. But if it does seep on lower, you've got that comfort there. But as Wayne mentioned earlier, August is still a concern. And so the option route's giving guys a little bit of encouragement to have that protection.
I'm going to go along with what Kurt said to reiterate that I said it start within the thing like that because I do think that there's a lot we're having trouble getting anybody to sell, which they think could be the bottom here, but yet we know there's at least a possible dollar more down the beans. So we want to put some puts in place there. On the corn, any levels above the $3.90 to $4, we're adding to our hedges there.
And Ellen Dearden.
I've been pretty heavily hedged and wanted to stay that way. I know that guys feel that they have more bushels and would like to do additional selling. We've been even pushing it at this level. My big concern, however, is for the basis because there will be guys that will be forced to make sales off the combine, and I think this basis could get pretty darn sloppy as we go through the fall, at least early in the fall. Maybe the basis deterioration will stick around for a longer period of time, too.
Rich, let's turn your attention to that basis. It is sloppy in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt at this point, that's for sure. What's your thought process there with the BNSF not being able to move grain?
You know, with many of our clients up in that area of the region discussing sub-$3 pricing, certainly some slap in the face type issues in front of them here. At this point, I don't have any argument at all with the thought that this is going to be a sticky situation from here on out for the rest of the old crop issue. You know, like I said, I do feel that we will have a small basis bump at harvest. I feel that these guys are simply don't have as much forward contracted sold as they normally would at this point. But certainly for the longer-term picture, you know, we certainly will go back to historically larger type of basis issues and play this from a large supply type problem.
Rich Nelson, of course, is with Alan Dale. We'll get back with him in just a moment. He's their director of research. Ellen Dearden was with us along with Kurt Kimmel and Dwayne Nelson here on this July 18 edition of Commodity Week. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the weather forecast with Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
The statewide average temperature for July so far is 70.6 degrees, which is 5.3 degrees below average. The statewide average rainfall is 2.9 inches and 50% above average for this part of July. The heaviest rains were in east central Illinois with amounts of up to 6 inches reported. There are a few areas that are on the dry side, including Springfield and just north of Peoria. The Climate Prediction Center came out with its latest outlooks for August and beyond For August, northern Illinois has an increased chance of below-average temperatures. The rest of the state has equal chances of above, below, and near-average temperatures. For the period of August through October, nearly the entire state has an increased chance of below-average temperatures. Precipitation over the next 3 months is expected to be near average. The National Weather Service forecast for this weekend and next week indicates a warming trend is underway. Highs on Saturday and Sunday will range from the low 80s in northern Illinois to the mid-80s in southern Illinois. Lows will be in the low 60s. There's little chance of rain this weekend. Monday through Thursday will be warmer with highs in the low to mid-80s in northern Illinois and the upper 80s and low 90s in southern Illinois. There is a chance of rain on Wednesday and Thursday.
Our thanks go, of course, to Jim Angel for his weekly update of the weather forecast for the growing regions of the Midwest. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute, where he serves as the state climatologist. Now, here the way the numbers settled for the week changes from Friday to Friday. September corn this week at a high at $3.87¾. Its weekly low, $3.70, hits the spot or lead option month. September settled at $3.71¼, down 7 cents for the week. December contract, $3.78½, finished 6¼ lower. That for the weekly trade for the harvest month in the corn pit. The low there was at $3.77½. Soybeans had a high of $12.11½ in the August contract or spot and lead option month at $11.53¼ for the low. Settled off 19 cents at $11.76¾. November futures at $10.85¼, unlike the August, managed to finish higher at 10¼ cents up from Friday to Friday. August bean meal at $380.30, down $7.50. August bean oil at $36.57, 20 cents lower. September soft red winter wheat, $5.32¼. The settlement price, it finished up 6¼ on the week. And the July soft red winter for next year at $6.05 on the weekly trade, up 8½ cents. August live cattle futures at $151.62½. were $2.50 higher. August feeders at $211.65 were up $1.27½, and August lean hogs at $127.75 finished $1.60 lower. You can always find all of our agricultural programming on our website. Where is that address? WillAg.org. That's WILLAG.ORG. We're right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is Illinois Public Media. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.ORG. I'm your host, University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Ellen Dearden, do you have a question now for Rich Nelson?
Given where prices are at this stage of the game, will South America change its view of what to grow this upcoming year?
Our stance, at least, this was probably a situation which is already kind of set in stone. We feel that a lot of these producers down south are troubled with these with the upfront cost issue with corn. We hear just nothing but continued reports of a 2-4% increase for soybean acreage locked up, certainly for Brazil and easily for Argentina as well. So on this end, we certainly feel that more soybeans, less corn is the word down there.
When you look forward for the livestock producer, Rich, what do you think that they should be doing at this point in time? Is there reason for them to lock in any of their inputs?
On the input side of thing here, for the livestock side, in terms of feed cost issues, we're really not going to be too active with them right now here, really discussing more hand-to-mouth strategies, and if anything, maybe discussing some longer-term hedge strategies for the hogs. But for the feed cost issue, We're not going to be too aggressive with these guys on the procurement here.
Rich, you said we should look for a little bounce here in the first August or around this time period. What sort of targets should we be looking at to make our, you know, to extend our coverage here in the corn and the beans?
And if we're looking back that, you know, at that study of the post pollination rebounds in these other record corn yield years, the ranges ran from a 5 to 19% increase off of the July low. That gives us a range of potential prices for these corn from $3.97 all the way up to $4.46. I think that might be stretching it quite a bit, but anything pushing past that $4 range, I think, is in our case at least, is a trigger point there.
Kurt Kimmel, do you have one last question?
Looking at this world events that took place this week, you got any commentary or things we should be watching on that?
Just like you guys mentioned, I think these markets are taking kind of a short-term market reaction approach to all these small events. And really, unless the situation changes with a substantial problem, which does change grain flows, then I don't think the market's going to be too concerned with these issues from a bigger picture perspective here.
Rich, thank you so much for taking the time with us. We do appreciate having you as a guest on Commodity Week.
Great. Thank you.
Rich Nelson, of course, is the Director of Research for Allendale. He's based in McHenry, Illinois. Now time for a final word from our panelist. We'll start with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, we've got a heck of a crop out there, Todd. Now all we have to do is get it to the finish line and get it marketed well. So I think we look for Rich's little bounce here, and we do some more marketing.
And Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities.
Yeah, I agree with Wayne. We probably need to, you know, get some cut up sales here as we see some bounces, you know, big potential, and there's still downside risk.
And Ellen Dearden of AgriView.
I am more concerned with downside risk in beans than in corn from the current price levels, and I think we need to really focus on beans.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Our thanks to our panelists, including Ellen Dearden, Kurt Kimmel, and Wayne Nelson, along with our special guest, Rich Nelson. You can find this program on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org there. In fact, you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report each and every business day, posted in its entirety not long after it airs on our radio stations. The numbers next to those particular files, when you look at them, are actually the times they should be posted. Not the times they air, but the times they're on the web. That's at willag.org. You have a great week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.